The Laravel podcast is sponsored by Titan. We build and rescue web apps and dev teams. Check us out at titan.com. Welcome back to Laravel Podcast Season 7. I'm your host, Matt Stauffer, CEO of Titan. And this season, I'm joined by every episode by a member of the Laravel team. And today I'm talking to Taylor Otwell, the man. Like, you know, he is Laravel. Laravel is him. So is your role CEO right now? Like, what is he actually called?
That is my official title, yeah.
Okay, so founder and CEO, OG.
Yep.
So, and normally I would start it with saying, hey, can you say hi and share a little bit about what you do at Laravel? And it's, on the one hand, it's kind of funny to do that. But on the other hand, it's actually kind of fun because what you do at Laravel today isn't the same. So I will say, Taylor, can you say hi and tell us a little bit about, like, what do you do day to day at Laravel right now?
Yeah. Hey, of course, as you said, I'm Taylor Otwell. I am founder CEO of Laravel. I created Laravel back in, I started working on it in 2010. I put it out there in 2011. And, you know, I have kind of shepherded it ever since. I've done a lot of different things. For the first, let's say, gosh, I guess almost 13 years, I pretty much was the only, let's say, executive boss at the company. And it was me and a few other programmers just kind of figuring it out as we go, mainly building things that like scratched our own itch of what we thought Laravel developers needed and what made sense to us. And to be honest, that is kind of still what I do, just at a bigger scale now. We're about a 60-person team. Even though I'm CEO, I still manage pull requests every day on GitHub. I still answer a lot of questions, just try to give a lot of guidance on, you know, where I think we should be heading and how we can best serve the Laravel community.
Love it. Well, we obviously, you know, last season and on frequent seasons, we had you on all the time, but you are very busy right now. So that's why kind of we're doing this thing. I still wanted to check in with you regularly and just say like, hey, what's going on in your world? And what's your perspective on the things we're seeing? So
yeah,
the first one for today is cloud. And I know we did a lot of talking about clouds. We kind of hit pause and we talked about Nightwatch for a little bit, but I would really like to hear from your perspective of like, what was the cloud launch like in terms of what went well, what was different about the cloud launch than previous launches like Forge and Envoy and stuff? And then maybe we'll talk a little bit about more cloud after that. But first, like, kind of what was the cloud like for you, the launch like for you?
You know, I think it went really well overall. I mean, in a variety of ways. So firstly, it worked, right? Like we launched cloud and people were able to use it and it did not go down. So like, that is great. Yeah. No like emergencies or like real catastrophes on a technical level.
Yeah.
I think it also went really well in the sense that we had many, many more users on it very quickly than we expected. It has grown faster than any previous product we've ever launched, which is great. The only reason I say it's maybe a little bit unexpected, and we'll see how it trends over time, but compared to something like, I think back to when maybe like Vercel or Netlify was first launching like Next.js hosting, let's say. No one really had been self-hosting it a lot because it was a very new framework compared to PHP, where people have been self-hosting and managing PHP for almost 30 years, literally now. And I kind of thought people are not going to just migrate to Laravel Cloud day one if their app's already out there and working. It's just there's not a lot of business sense to do that. So I thought that Laravel Cloud would be a very kind of like slow but steady growing thing that eventually really pays off for us, but it's just going to take time to get people migrated and to encourage them to do so through like our feature set.
Yeah.
So there's many, many more people on the platform very early than we expected. You know, some things that like we've been reflecting on and thinking about is it's just a very different model than people are used to with Forge.
Yeah.
And I always saw Forge as like Cloud's biggest competitor, to be honest. Not in a bad way. It's just like there are two different paths you can take for running Laravel apps. And I think we want both of them to be really awesome.
Yeah.
But for example, like if I could reflect on like some pain points we're going through with Cloud, it's just like educational things like someone has a web app with like 1 gig of memory, but they have attached like a 500 gigabyte cache to it that cost them $200 a month or whatever. I don't know what the price is off the top of my head. But just like a sort of unawareness of maybe what they need and what things are going to cost them. So we're actually trying to ship a pricing calculator by next week that lets you kind of like pick your app into different buckets. So like maybe you have a very small app or you're a SaaS startup or you're an e-commerce platform. You can kind of like put yourself in one of these buckets and we'll give you like recommendations on like, this is probably what you need. And here's kind of what it will cost if it's fully utilized all month long.
Yeah.
So we're working on a lot of that kind of user educational stuff and then surfacing kind of billing details in the UI, because it's just a different model than Forge where mm-hmm. you're kind of like paying for a server and you're done.
Yeah.
But overall, it's been awesome. I think, you know, we've continued to ship some cool new stuff on it, like replicating environments. We're going to keep working on stuff like, as people can probably guess, things like preview environments and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm super pumped about what's coming down the line for cloud.
I'm glad to hear that those are your answers. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, because the only complaints I've heard about cloud is they didn't understand what the pricing was, and whether it was that the bill was unexpected or whether they don't understand why, you know, they would switch to cloud from Forge. And the two biggest conversations I've had were, A, I just talked with a friend recently who said I had a higher bill than expected. And so we kind of dug into their bill together, and it was like, oh yeah, there's a worker that's doing work, heavy work, and interacting with the database every minute or so, or every 5 minutes or something like that. And it was just like, oh yeah, when we're working on this usage-based pricing, the average person isn't going to have this. So yours is a more expensive use case. And then the other friend I talked to just said, hey, I work with a lot of people who are just getting started outside of the US, and they're, you know, we've gotten them off of shared hosting and onto a $5 DigitalOcean droplet that they have 20 apps on. And the idea of like each app costing more than this droplet, you know, is not making sense. Therefore, cloud doesn't make sense. And one of the things I told you about early on, and I kind of talked with the cloud team, is that I'm most interested in cloud, not for myself, but for my clients. Mm-hmm. And I know that you guys are targeting more than just that, but we have so many clients that we have set up on Forge, set up on DigitalOcean, and now they just have a Forge account and a DigitalOcean account and don't know what to do with them. And they have to hire us when they want to make changes. And I was like, I love the idea of, yeah, they're going to pay more than Forge and DigitalOcean $5 box, but they're going to have a fully managed service. And there's, you know, we've tried Heroku before, we've tried other fully managed services for Laravel before, and they've never been the experience that, you know, that I'm hoping that our clients have as they move over to cloud. So I'm excited about further transparency around that pricing, and also just talking about like, well, who's cloud for and who's it not? What projects make sense in cloud and which don't? And that pricing will certainly be a part of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I think we want cloud to be as great for as many products and apps as possible. I think we're still figuring out ourselves who slots into those buckets between cloud and Forge over time, and where do we see the most potential for each under which customer segment.
Yeah.
You know, so the jury may still be out there a little bit, but I mean, I know we want to optimize cloud and Forge for everyone, right? And it really just comes down to how you would like your app to be managed. Do you want fully managed, or do you want a server that you can SSH into and have terminal access to? But the experience really needs to be great for both. So that's what we'll keep, you know, working towards overall.
Yeah, for sure. Just to add one extra thing, I realized that part of it, I'm just like, is the app making money? You know, because if the app's making money, then that difference between the $5 box and the $25 cloud doesn't really bother you that much. And then you can focus on the app. So I do think that like the story of cloud for your little side project that, you know, needs to be up and running all the time, but it's not making any money, that could be a little harder story to tell. Whereas like if you're a profitable business, even mildly profitable, cloud becomes a lot easier.
And we're trying to make some changes as well to get people on the happy path for those kind of like side projects a little bit better on cloud. Like for example, when you create a new environment in cloud, previously we're not enabling hibernation by default on the app.
Okay.
But we're thinking we probably will do that for like sandbox accounts, because we were seeing a fair number of people launch their like hobby project or side project on the cloud, and it wasn't hibernating because we don't enable it by default. And they were like, wait a second.
I thought it was supposed to
I thought it was going to hibernate and I was going to pay only a few cents or whatever. And that wasn't the case because it wasn't enabled. So I think we're going to ship that this week. But you know, we're trying to make these little changes and figure it out based on what we hear from the community and stuff.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, one other thing about cloud we wanted to talk about was MySQL general availability. So cloud ships with Postgres, and then you've got MySQL in beta. And I know that a lot of people who I've talked to who want to migrate existing apps, they've asked this question of like, well, what does it look like to migrate from Postgres to MySQL? And I'm like, it's not that free. Wait for MySQL, you know, to actually be fully available. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we have, like you said, we have Postgres out now and then MySQL in beta. And one of the major reasons MySQL has been in beta is because of the backup restore story not being totally fleshed out during the beta period. And so what we're about to roll out over the next week or two is automated snapshots of your MySQL databases and the ability to restore them, you know, to a new MySQL cluster. And then further down the line, but still in the near term, we will have point in time restore for MySQL, just like Postgres, to where you can restore to, like, you know, down to the minute or second or whatever the granularity is onto a new cluster. So that was the main reason we still have the beta tag on the MySQL feature in cloud. And once we have the snapshot stuff out and a backup story more mature, then I think we'll call that GA. You know, we just didn't want to call it GA without the ability to backup and restore.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's not like the database itself is in beta, right? Like if you're just using a database somewhere else, you can use database here. It's just you guys, you have like a higher kind of standard.
You could even connect via Table Plus and export a backup. You know, so you're not even really prevented from getting a backup per se, but, you know, it's just not built into cloud right now as an affordance. Yeah.
Well, and I've definitely noticed that, like, of course, all of the products that you've ever built before are high quality, but there is a level of expectations that you've placed on yourselves for cloud that I think is like several levels above before. And I think there's probably lots of reasons. It's the size of the company. It's the current state of it. But I think part of it also is there's eyes on Laravel in a way there haven't been before. Because I think that in the past you would have shipped it and then you would have later shipped it with backup restore, no big deal. But now it's sort of like, you shipped this feature and it doesn't have the industry leading best expected. What are you doing? So now you guys have this kind of like higher pressure on you.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, let's talk really quickly about Forge and then I want to move over to Nightwatch. So you mentioned kind of like you want to make sure that Forge is something that people are still using. And a lot of people when cloud came out said, I don't want to use cloud. I want to stick with Forge. And I'm like, I'm going to stay using Forge for the rest of my life. And I'm going to use cloud too. And, you know, like, is this something you're to keep investing in? And you mentioned that, you know, then you said, yeah, that's something we're interested in. But you said there's kind of like, you guys have kind of leaked ideas about like there's new kind of Forge development happening. So can you tell us a little bit about, like, you know, as much as you're able to share about Forge right now?
Yeah. You know, I'm a huge Forge fan. Of course, Forge will always be super important to me as like my first commercial product I ever really built that like let me go full time working on Laravel. We're doing more on Forge right now and more ambitious things than we've, I would say, ever done, or at least in the last, let's say, 5 to 6 years, way beyond anything we've ever tackled. So, I mean, from my perspective, at the end of the day, like the proof that Forge is a good product is in the fact that it's managing over 500,000 servers and tens of thousands of customers. Like, clearly this is something people want and enjoy and like, and I think it would be really silly and kind of negligent to just like say, oh, we're actually done with Forge. We're going all in on cloud. So we have some super exciting new projects for Forge. I mean, I can just say that part of it, you know, I put out a tweet maybe a week or two ago of like, hey, if you're interested in Forge, come to Laracon US because we're going to be showing all of this new Forge stuff, which is all true. And if you are interested in Forge, Laracon US is definitely going to be an exciting time. But, you know, a lot of people guessed a lot of stuff. A lot of it was correct. People were missing a lot of stuff as well that I don't think they would ever guess, actually. That's just like, I think, going to be kind of surprising to people. But, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff that's probably top of mind for everyone. Like, we know we want to improve and solidify, or maybe like unify, the feature set between like Envoy and Forge. Mm-hmm. I think that's like a super obvious one that people have talked about for years. So, I mean, I feel pretty comfortable saying that, like, since 90% of the people guessed that, like, obviously that is something we have been working on, trying to improve the deployment story to be more in line with Envoy in terms of zero downtime and kind of monitoring and things like that. But there's a lot more we're doing for Forge as well that people, like I said, not a single person guessed on Twitter at all.
Nice.
So I think it's going to be fun. And, you know, I'm excited. You know, I wanted to get the company and Forge and cloud to a place to where, as a company and as a business, we are perfectly fine no matter which you choose, whether it's cloud or Forge. And we've tried to do things, you know, here to make that a reality. Yeah. And I think, you know, after Laracon, we'll kind of finally be to that place. So I'm pumped. I think if you're a Forge fan, it's going to be a really exciting summer. And I think just like, you know, it's big. There's a lot of big stuff coming, and it's one of the biggest Forge updates we've ever done.
I love that as a priority, because I think a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, money comes in and then the things that we want are going to go away in the favor of us going to things that they want or whatever. And so I know that that was kind of like a concern underlying the cloud is coming, is Forge going away mindset. So I know that there's people who are going to be very happy to hear you saying, we want it, you know, and you're doing the work on your side. You're not just saying it as a nicety. You want, you know, we want to do the work ourselves to make sure that our offerings are equally valuable to you and to us, so that we're not bummed if you all choose Forge or all choose cloud or either way. So that's really nice. Okay. Well, we did just have an episode about Nightwatch where we kind of dug deep, not into what Nightwatch is, but more kind of like the origin story and kind of like what building Nightwatch was like with Jess. So it's totally fine if you don't have anything really huge to say about it. But I'm curious, first of all, do you have anything to say? But second of all, do you get to use Nightwatch in a day-to-day? Do you get to be a part of like the, hey, I'm going to install on the server. I'm going to play with, I'm going to give my notes, even if you're not there every day, right? Because you're not the lead. But like, it's still your baby, right? Everything Clairville does is still yours. So what's your kind of day-to-day interaction with Nightwatch like?
Yeah. So, I mean, the way I actually interact with Nightwatch the most in a real way is actually via Forge's Nightwatch installation. Yeah. So Jess may have mentioned this if she was on with you, but, you know, we've been running Nightwatch on Forge in production for feels like forever now. I mean, it's been a couple months, I think, at least.
Yeah.
And so, like, I log into that and I see the real Forge data into Nightwatch. Yeah. And it, to me, it feels like kind of a finished Nightwatch because I'm seeing everything real, you know, it's not any dummy data or anything. And it's just really like, it's such a beautifully designed product and it's such a step above, like, man, just like, I've never even really set up true log monitoring for any of my LabVIEW projects because it was just like, I just knew it was going to be nasty and it's going to be ugly and I didn't want to do it. And with Nightwatch, it's just like, boom, I pop in the Nightwatch agent into my composer file and I'm done and everything works and it looks good and I can search and I can, you know, what's actually super cool for me is like being able to go to a user in Nightwatch, like a user of my app, a Forge user.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the request they're making, but then on any of those requests, I can see the logs that were written just for that request.
Okay.
And you know, that's like, that's just such a pain to dig into. Like if you were going into like the CloudWatch dashboard on AWS, just being able to quickly do that, it'd just be nasty. It'd be slow. Yeah. I don't know. It's just an awesome product. I think the team's done a really good job on it, you know, and it's just crazy how like, it's funny how these products kind of come into being sometimes, which, you know, I kind of had the idea for Nightwatch before we raised money with Excel. And I remember kind of pitching this idea a little bit of like a Pulse Pro while we were talking about like, should we raise money and try to build some of these ambitious things? And cloud was kind of an obvious one, but like a Pulse Pro, which is what we were calling at the time, was another one that was like very top of mind. And, you know, the fact that it's kind of all born out of just like frustration running Forge and not being able to identify problems really quickly in the system, or like, hey, which user's clogging up our queues with tons of jobs and being able to know that in 5 seconds, you know, and here we are about to launch an entire product out of like some frustration, you know, relatively mild frustrations we were having on Forge, but it was really annoying, you know, over time when it's happening again and again, and just being able to have this awesome tool to solve that and give it to the Laravel community is going to be really fun. And I think, you know, in contrast to cloud, and something that I'm super excited a bit about on Nightwatch is, you know, when we launched cloud, like I said earlier, everyone could kind of get in and play with it on day one, but most people weren't moving their production apps to Laravel cloud in the first 24 hours of cloud's launch, especially if they were non-trivial applications.
Yeah.
But with Nightwatch, you know, if you have a, even if your site's doing millions and millions of hits a day, you really can launch Nightwatch into production on that app on launch day.
Yeah.
And we're ready for it, you know, in terms of scale and the ability to handle that. And, you know, there's no migration needed on your end. It's really just a composer package you install and a little process you run, just like you'd run a queue worker or anything else. So I'm really curious to see. I think it's going to be a kind of bananas launch for Nightwatch because of that. And so I'm very, it's going to be a fun day. Oh man, I almost leaked the launch day for Nightwatch. I did announce it today. It's launching next month. But I didn't say the exact day we have in mind, just in case we needed to shift it a few days, you know. But
I can't imagine, because I mean, cloud is huge, right? And you're doing all that stuff. But like each user of cloud is sending just their one set of requests, whereas Nightwatch, you know, we signed up for Nightwatch and instantly we're sending thousands of requests over to Nightwatch. I don't know if it was a minute, because I don't remember the size of the project we sent over, and we did not put our biggest projects on it because we're still beta testing, right? But some of our clients get, you know, millions of hits a day, and they would probably on day one sign up, install. So like the load that you guys are going to have on your servers, like, and the nothing to billions, trillions of requests per whatever, you know, like that's going to be a wild day from a server ops perspective.
Yeah. I think in the 30 days that we ran, the first 30 days we ran Nightwatch and Forge, I think just for database queries, we collected 3 billion.
Oh my gosh. Is that database just Forge queries alone?
Tracked by Forge alone. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And that's just queries. That's not, you know, requests or exceptions or anything. But, you know, people will also be able to just sample down. Mm-hmm. So one thing we're working on is, that's assuming you capture like 100% of everything that happens in your app. You don't have to do that. So like, if your app gets billions of requests, you literally might only sample 0.1% of the data coming in, but it's enough to still let you know like what your slowest queries and slowest routes are.
Yeah.
So people will be able to do that as well.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, we just got beta access and installed it on an app, and I've gotten to play around with it a little bit. And I have tried PaperTrail, like when I was writing my book and when I was writing blog posts about Forge, I tried PaperTrail a couple times. I tried a couple other logging services. And just like you said, it's so difficult to get useful information out of logs. And those services make it better than just tailing a log in your local system or whatever. But it's so difficult to get useful, structured information that is the exact information you're looking for in that moment, let alone the fact that outside of the logs, you're also getting access to a lot more kind of like request data and user data and everything like that. Like, there was a screen where I think it just said, here's your users, you know, here's your last 40 users to log in, and here's the issues they're running into or something. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this feels magical to be able to say, like, that user right there had an error on that page. That user right there had 300 type errors and 400 type errors, and we want to ding these. Or there's, you know, here's the routes that have the most 500 type errors. And I'm just like, this is an insane, it shouldn't be that magical.
Yeah, it's super useful to be able to see stuff like that, especially even like your P95 values in Nightwatch. So these are like what you might think of as the outliers in your app in terms of performance, but in many cases, they're actually your most valuable customer. They're maybe your biggest spenders because they have the most resources on your system. Like, take for example, Forge itself. If we had a user with 1,000 servers, they're one of potentially our biggest potential customers.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though the dashboard might be really slow for them, and they're, we're not really seeing that, you might discount it because like, oh, P95, it's rare, but it could be like a really valuable customer, and being able to visualize that kind of stuff really easily in Nightwatch is super, super useful.
Yeah. I was just saying, it feels very magical. And I don't want to say that in like a sales hype way, but it feels very magical in that we have been working on this logging, tracking, analytics, you know, debugging world for so long and never been able to get anything like this. It really feels like because what I thought we were going to get was like a Laravel branded error management platform. Okay, cool. Error management is error management, your exception tracking platform. And then I thought we were going to get some APM, which is great, because getting good APM, there are good APM platforms, but they're hard to find and they're sales heavy, stuff like that. But this logging integration together with all these different pieces and how they all play together was something I never could have even asked for. It's just sort of like, now I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is amazing, right? But I wouldn't have even known to like imagine we could do this. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, when we first started building Nightwatch, we actually did not set out with like error monitoring or exception tracking being like the focus. You know, that was just like, that ended up being kind of a part of it, a part of the story, but it was not, we didn't set out to build like an error tracking platform.
Yeah,
for sure. It was much more like holistic than that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, for some reason at first I was just like, oh yeah, Nightwatch is, you know, and I guess when I first talked to Jess at Laracon Australia, she said there's the three pieces. But even then I was like, oh, well, it's, you know, I just didn't understand how holistic it could be until I started seeing it. And then I was like, oh, the holistic is the magic. It's not that it has three individual pieces done well, which is great, but it is fact that having all three allows you to gather information in structured ways you never could have with one or the other. So
that's
very cool. Okay, last big thing I want to talk to you about is Laracon. The Laracon hype is definitely starting. We got the new site that launched, I think, just today. You know, I know that as a sponsor, we're starting to get kind of sponsor communications. I just listen to Mostly Technical, and they're talking about a pre-party the day beforehand. And I know there's a lot of other stuff going on. Once again, I have to ask you, because I'm always curious about your perspective of things. You've run Laracon solo. You've run Laracons with Ian. You've run Laracons with Jess. You know, you've had all these different experiences. And last year, you had the burgeoning kind of like team, you know, helping run Laracon with you. How hands-on are you? What's your experience been like? You know, what's,
I have tried to be pretty hands-off this year because, I mean, oh gosh, hopefully the team's not mad at me, but I wanted to see like how they did, you know, like without me guiding every step of what they do. You know what I mean? Because it's true. Like, I mean, especially like years like 2016, 17, 18, 19, we ran those with no event management company at all. It was usually me and one other person. or two other people maybe, and we just kind of made it happen. The last couple of years we've used an event management company, but there's still a lot you have to do and a lot to figure out. So yeah, where like I have contributed my general feedback and kind of opinions on venue and where we do it. And a lot of that ends up coming down to just sort of like cost and what date stuff is available. Mm-hmm. And some of it's a little bit out of your control, to be honest, yeah, depending on what's kind of booked up at the time. And so I contributed there, and I also contributed to helping select the speakers, right? Because I just can give a lot of context on, yeah, you know, what topics we might want and how to kind of balance it all out and stuff like that. But other than that, I have not really contributed to like, even like, for example, last week I pinged Hank, who's on our team working on this, says, hey, like, what does the stage look like at Laracon? Yeah. You know, because I normally, that's something I would be like super, yeah, heavily involved in.
Yeah.
And I just hadn't looked, and he sent me up a mock-up, and like, it looked okay. That looks great. So yeah, good. We're like on the right track. you know, we're like, hey, what's the catering, nice, looking like? But I'm honestly not, I'm trying not to micromanage it because, yeah, you know, but it's really part of a broader effort across Laravel where I'm trying to find a balance between like really steering everyone in this very micromanagery way versus, mm-hmm, trying to get Laravel to a place to where it can function without me doing that, yeah, because it hasn't for so long, because I was kind of running like every decision, because, you know, I want to be able to eventually like take a vacay and not,
yeah,
log in. Like, let's say if that's the benchmark,
your laptop. Yeah.
You know, yeah, and we're not there yet, but we're getting close to that. You know what I mean?
That's great.
And I want other people to be able to find, to have fun and flourish too, right? Like, mm-hmm, if you're working somewhere, you want to be able to contribute and like make an impact on what actually happens. You know, you don't want to, yeah, just be like sort of carrying out the wishes of like a ruler and you have no creative input on, yeah, the whole process. So I'm trying to let them have fun with it too, because it is fun running an event, you know, and kind of seeing it all come together. And then you're there in person. It's like, wow, we spent many months kind of dreaming this up, and now it's like this real tangible thing, which we don't get to do often in software, right? Is, yeah, like, yeah, see these tangible results of projects we've worked on with cool staging and lighting. And
yeah,
so, you know, I think it's going to be fun.
That's cool. I mean, it's always been fun watching your team, you know, when they get to be involved with it, just kind of like the giddiness and the high they have. Because as a sponsor, we get to show up early. So I'm seeing your whole team, you know, like we're in an empty warehouse, people are starting to set out chairs or whatever, and your team is there and they're in their shirts and they're like, they are so freaking excited to be there and be helping and be a part of it, especially when it's people's first year. And they're just kind of like, I am in person as like Team Laravel with a little badge, yeah, or a little shirt or whatever. And it's, so I love that you're giving people more opportunities, more space to be a part of creating. And one of the challenges of owning a company and growing is learning how, you know, what to let go of and what not to. How do you ensure that it's up to the quality level that you want attached to your name and your baby while also kind of letting it go a little bit? And you got to learn that, like, let somebody take those steps and then you come in and say, okay, you know, you did great. Or, oh, okay, you know, next time I'm going to have to give you more structure or whatever. Like, that's the leadership skills that you're obviously, you know, exhibiting and developing. So,
yeah. Yeah. Trying to.
Yeah. Well, it's I talk to your employees enough that I think you're doing a great job. So when it comes to Laracon this year, we're in Denver. Do you have a sense for what the vibes of the locale are like? I mean, I've looked it up before, but I just want to kind of get like, what's your read?
So, I mean, the space itself is a little bit similar to last year, except bigger. Okay. We have a separate kind of a vendor hall, you might say, yeah, which has been like, as you know, this has been sort of a problem the last couple of years of like all the sponsors, which we love, we're in the same place as all the talks, and it's like a noise issue.
Yeah.
Because people are, yeah, I mean, I guess it's good that people are excited to talk to the sponsors, but
yeah.
Anyway, well, so we'll have a separate space for vendors. We're going to have just more stuff going on in general. So like,
okay,
like you said, there's going to be stuff the day before. I've heard rumors of like rooftop events. Nice. You know, I know sponsors are doing things. I think there's just going to be more happening than, mm-hmm, previous years, to where it was basically like conference during the day, maybe one after party the first day. Right. And that's kind of it. You know, that's, yeah, that's the gist of the whole thing. Yeah. And there's just a lot more going on, which I think is going to be cool. Fun. You know, I've heard about golf, I've heard about rooftops, like I said, you know,
nice.
It's going to be a good time.
That's very cool. And as a sponsor, I know that there can be like a little bit of a bummer of the sponsors like being away from the main event. I'm really excited about that change, because we would sometimes be wanting to talk to people and we shouldn't. And people, mm-hmm, you know, like would want to come back and be like, sorry, you got to come back in an hour. So while, you know, like, having the sponsors a little bit further away, I mean, someone could complain about it. I vote for it. I'm a big fan of that. I think it's going to allow the sponsor space to be as raucous as we need it to be the whole time. It's going to allow people to hear the talks without having to worry if they sit too far in the back. So I'm very excited about it. I think it's a great choice. Talk selection. So you guys have been slowly kind of rolling out the people it's going to be. Are they all selected and you're just rolling them, or are you guys still in the selection process?
I think there actually are a couple final decisions to be made. But they're definitely mostly selected. And there's going to be some like exciting stuff going on. So I think similar like last year during my keynote, you know, I brought a few other members of the team up during the keynote. Yeah. I think it will be kind of similar to that this year to where, you know, you could imagine a cloud update, a Nightwatch update, a Forge update, which is going to be pretty sizable. Yeah. But then I'm excited about some of the other stuff going on stage. It's going to be pretty cool. Like, we're going to have a panel discussion with myself, Adam Wathen from Tailwind, Evan from Vue.js and Vite, and Jeffrey Way from Laracast.
Oh, I didn't know Jeffrey was coming too. That's awesome.
Jeffrey has not been announced publicly that he's going to be joining. I just pinged him on Telegram last week. I was like, I knew he was coming, but I knew he didn't want to talk. Talk prep is like, it takes a lot, you know? So I kind of never fault anyone for like saying, choosing, you know, I'm good. Actually, I don't want to talk. But so I pinged him and I was like, hey, I know you don't want to talk, but we're going to do this kind of casual Q&A. It's not going to take, you know, a lot of prep. We'll send you the questions, let's say like a week before, so you can think about them. And it's going to be me, Adam, and Evan. Like, if you want to join, like, that'd be awesome. So he was on board for that, but I haven't announced that publicly yet. So I think that's going to be cool. It's been a couple of years since Jeffrey was on the Laracon stage.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be fun for people to see us all up there.
Very good.
We'll have a PHP, CSS, JS, and sort of educational representation.
Yeah. And Jeffrey is a fantastic speaker, which is interesting because I know he's very, very introverted. So sometimes people who are introverted are like great video speakers, but then when they get on stage, they get nervous. I'm like, you put him on stage and he's just as good as he is behind
the camera.
Pretty
much
the
same,
But just so you all are prepared, when Jeffrey gets off that stage, he's not coming out and schmoozing. And it's fine to be an introvert. Jeffrey is someone from whom I've learned a lot about how to like take care of yourself in the midst of trying to be social and interactive. He's just like, look, when I'm burnt out, I'm burnt out. I need to go back to my hotel room. And that's true at conferences, but it's also true with how he does his life. He said something like, if it's not an enthusiastic yes, then it's a no, right? He's like, if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. And he's just really kind of trying to protect his peace. And I'm like, cool, man, you know, you deserve the ability to do that just because we are all big fans, you know?
Yeah, I get it. I think at core, like, I still consider myself an introvert, you know, at my core. I think I've gotten a little bit more extroverted over the years and a little bit more like loosened up. But I can definitely relate to that. I mean, conferences can be overwhelming. You know, you kind of come away energized, but also kind of worn out. And especially if you're an introvert. But it'd be fun.
Yeah. So I was talking to one of our prospective clients recently, and he's like, look, I've followed along with you guys for, you know, decades. I've been with Titan since the beginning, with Laravel since, you know, version 3, blah, blah, blah. And he's never been to a conference. And I've just kind of realized that there are some people who haven't yet been able to see the value of going to these conferences. And so I just want to kind of like tell everybody, since I'm not invested, I get no dollars from Laracon or anything like that. When we lost those physical conferences for a few years, I and several others begged Taylor to put it on in person again. I was just like, please, you know, like whatever it takes, there's so much value because the conferences aren't about the talks. And I'm sorry to speakers, as a speaker, you know, like, you know, the talks are great and the conference wouldn't happen without the talks. So they are there and they're wonderful. But a lot of people say, oh, I can watch the talks on YouTube, therefore I don't need to go. And I'm like, the talks are the organizing concept and reason for it to exist. And yet the reason to go in person is it's social interactions. It is meeting people. It's even just being there with those conference speakers and asking them questions about their talk afterwards. It's about the people you sit next to, the people you go to a meal with, the people you play foosball with or whatever, the connection, the sponsored people that you meet in person. I mean, like, there's so many developers who came up to our booth and I was like, oh, I kind of vaguely know your face or name from Twitter, but then we sit and have an in-person conversation. It just changes our connection. And I'm like, I know not everybody can afford it, but if it is within the realm of what you can handle financially, don't look at these conferences as sitting in a seat watching a talk, because you're right. You can just sit in your seat at home for a lot cheaper and a lot more comfortable and watch, you know, talks on YouTube. Think of it as a social experience that happens to be centered around talks. It is a transformative experience. The relationships I've built, the connections I've made, the things I've kind of gotten excited about, that energy you come home with, from a conference you don't get after you go watch all those talks on YouTube. You know, there's just, there's some experiences you're going to have outside of watching a talk that I want everybody to consider it if you have it. So,
yeah, Laracon is very energizing. You know, it's energizing even for us as a team to go hear the stories of the developers, to see what they're excited about, to sort of hang out with them. And I agree with you, like the talks are almost this convenient excuse for everyone to get together and hang out for a couple of days and just sort of network and learn from each other and get excited and hear what we're all building. And I think Laracon, I mean, I know we run it, but I think it's just a very well done tech conference in terms of just the quality of it and
100%.
Where it is. And, you know, the vibe of it is always really good and positive. And like the Laravel people are hanging out with the conference attendees. You know, like you go to some tech conferences and it's like all of the people you really want to meet, they're just like never around, or they like cool pop club. In for their talk and then they're flying out and they're gone. I remember like there's been times I've gone to conferences where I like wanted to meet like a programming hero, right? And they're like on stage, then they're just not around.
Yeah.
And one thing I appreciate about Laracon, and shout out to Rails World, was kind of like this too, with like David Huntermeyer Hansen just hanging out like out in the lobby.
Yeah.
And at Laracon, it's the very same way. Like you're going to see like people you see online, like Nuno or James Brooks from the Forge team, or me. I always try to hang out like in the crowd the whole conference. I'm eating lunch. I'm there just standing around for anyone to talk to. So it's a good opportunity to come meet and talk with the Laravel team as well.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I don't listen to podcasts very much these days. And I was planting some tree this morning, so I got to listen to podcasts. So I keep quoting mostly technical because that was what I listened to. But they were talking about React Miami as being this very kind of like hype, very like energy, party, whatever. And they reflected on the fact that Laracon is chill. But I think it's interesting to me that it's chill in that you don't have to be a very hype person to go to and enjoy a Laracon. But it also is not just sitting around doing nothing, because like there's always people who are doing fun and exciting things. So I think one of the things I like very much about a Laracon is it is both energizing and exciting, all those things, and it's also extremely accessible because you don't have to get into it. Like there are some wonderful, delightful conferences that are run by people with so much energy. I go there and I'm like, I can't do this, you know? And I think Laracon gives you a lot of options for what your level of energy and what your level of social interaction, what you want it to be. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is it for the questions I had. Is there anything going on at Laravel, Laracon, or in your life you want to chat about, or do you feel like we covered everything pretty well for now?
I mean, I think we covered most things. You know, like I'm super anxious for people to give Cloud a shot if they haven't already. And of course, stay tuned for Nightwatch next month.
Yeah.
Cool thing about Nightwatch is like you can use Nightwatch wherever you are. So if you're on Cloud or Forge, your own server running in your closet, like you can run the, as long as you can run the Nightwatch, you run some PHP on it, then you can use Nightwatch. So I'm pumped about that. And then, you know, Laracon, if you don't already have a ticket, consider getting one and hanging out with us for a couple of days and seeing new stuff we've been working on Cloud, Nightwatch, and Forge. It's going to be a fun time.
Awesome. Well, again, I know you are busier than ever before, so thanks for taking a little bit of time to come hang out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and the rest of y'all, we'll see y'all next time.